This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Don't forget, we've got Nail the Score. I've gotten a lot of questions about that. Coming up on our Wednesday into Thursday show, the stage is set, the Pro Bowl. We're going to do a Pro Bowl one, thanks to our pal Sharon in Maine, who really wanted to see that happen. And the next week we'll do, of course, the Super Bowl, which is the Patriots and Atlanta. A lot of people thinking Atlanta might pull it off. If the Patriots pull it off, that's five rings for Tom Brady. You know, absolutely incredible. All right, let's jump to what's happening in Washington. Here's what's happening. A Trump directive is ordering employees at the EPA to halt external communications and posts on social media. So there's massive news reports that a number of other agencies were doing the same thing with gag orders to workers. The EPA confirmed it was freezing that activity, especially, too, besides that, contracts and grants. White House spokesperson Sean Spencer, or Spicer rather, said he was aware of the news reports but not familiar with any of these other effects. He says, we're looking into it. He told reporters that at the Daily White House briefing. And apparently what he's saying is contrary to what he's calling erroneous media reports. Human Health Services and its agencies are continuing to communicate about its work through the communication channels, but the agencies reportedly affected supposedly were the Health, rather, and Human Services and the U.S. Department of Agriculture, but they say that's overblown. So what we do know for fact, so these are actual facts, is that the White House did freeze EPA accounts. And what's also interesting is government Twitter accounts have slowed since Trump took office. So how about that? I think you're going to see more. I mean, you're going to see more of that. You know, Trump signed five more orders on pipeline, steel, and the environment. So if we were going to go down the list, he's going to be ending up being one of the most active presidents in the beginning of this presidency. There's no question. So he signed the five more actions, and the idea was speed up the approvals of the high-profile energy and infrastructure projects, which is what he said, heading into office. He signed two presidential memorandums intended to expedite the Keystone XL and Dakota Access pipelines, but also signed three more longer-term and pretty sweeping directives requiring American-made steel and changing the process of approving and regulating future pipeline and infrastructure projects. So in reversing the Obama administration's policy to disapprove the Keystone pipeline, Trump emphasized that the construction isn't a done deal. It's something that's subject to a renegotiation of terms, supposedly. So Keystone XL, of course, was a lightning rod for the Obama folks, with the administration taking 7 years to make a decision before they ultimately killed it over environmental concerns. Remember, I know on this show I had people on where I was saying initially they approved it, then all of a sudden they didn't approve it. So this is a big, big deal. Now, a couple other quick things. There was a memorandum requiring the Secretary of Commerce to come up with a plan to mandate that steel I talked about, American-made steel, for expanded or retrofitted pipelines in the U.S. So that plan's due in 6 months. Also, a memorandum to all Fed agencies to review manufacturing regulations. That's big. And then this high priority infrastructure projects. Under Trump's order, any governor or cabinet secretary can ask for a project to be designated as high priority if the chairman of the White House Council on Environmental Quality approves the project. It'll go to the front of the line for any agency required to review and approve the project. Sounds like gobbledygook? It's not. It means fast, fast, fast. So Keystone XL, existing pipeline, proposed pipeline, Dakota Access Pipeline. I think you're following the bouncing ball here. And I pretty much believe that what we are going to see day after day with, at least in the beginning of this administration, is a lot of these executive orders and regulations, immigration restrictions, a refugee ban. That's also incredibly huge. In fact, I probably should have led with that. So one of, well, he's expected to sign it, so that hasn't happened. He's expected to sign a bunch of different other orders, and that would restrict immigration at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. They know they're being briefed on this, so this is a rumor that, you know, this is a rumor that's pretty big. I was telling you about Rex Tillerson. I had a conversation with somebody in Washington today, and the fact that anybody opposed to Rex Tillerson, a lot of that objection has been lifted. So now there's more people that are backing up Tillerson, like Elon Musk. He says, it might sound surprising coming from me, he tweeted this out today, but he said, I agree with the Economist. Rex Tillerson has the potential to be an excellent Secretary of State. So is that surprising? More people are coming to that conclusion, which means keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on Tillerson and what happens as he takes over that role as Secretary of State, which that should now, a lot of the objections should be lifted. A lot of the problems with his approval, I think, pretty much have dissipated. So that's just, you know, again, a matter of perception, I suppose. So pretty interesting what I just said. You've got the media blackout for federal agencies like the EPA. You have the infrastructure priorities, which are going to cost like $137 billion plus, so 50 of them at least. You've got Elon Musk backing up Tillerson as a potential to be a great Secretary of State, a very big day a couple of days into the administration, to the Trump administration. And on top of that, you've got Sean Spicer saying that studies are backing Trump's voter fraud claim, saying that he specifically said at the White House, today's watching this briefing, he said that the president believes that there was voter fraud and people voting illegally during the campaign based on studies and evidence that people have presented to him. He has said this for a while, so this isn't necessarily a surprise. Spicer said that there was a 2012 report by the Pew Research Center, which we've talked about on this show, that called for a greater responsibility or need to update the voter registration system, but didn't conclude that pervasive election fraud had taken place. However, you know, pressed about this, Spicer says Trump told congressional leaders, which we know, on Monday privately that he would have won the popular vote in the November 8th election if 3 million to 5 million illegal immigrants living in the United States hadn't voted. So, you know, anything's possible, right? It's an electoral-based system. 33 of 50 states voted for him. I don't know. This whole election deal and how many electoral college votes, which, of course, Trump won to Hillary Clinton's, and then the argument over the popular vote. At this point, it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't. It doesn't matter if Trump's president. Who cares? Move off onto what's happening now, like all these executive actions, and what do they mean? What about these infrastructure projects? What about shutting down or blacking out the social media when it comes to the EPA? Anyway, buckle up. We've got a great show headed your way, some fantastic interviews that many of you have asked to hear, so stay with us.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place. And the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Talking to a rocket scientist, Olympia Lapointe. We go from Olympia to Dr. Joe Alton, who is a disaster preparedness expert and host of American Survival Radio. You know, we just watched the inauguration, and there's lots of questions about the wall, the wall, the wall, because this is one of the major themes for Donald Trump as he was crisscrossing around the United States and getting people interested in what his policies were going to be, what his vision was. And the vision was to build a wall. So, Dr. Alton, thanks so much for coming on. And as you know, this was a major theme that really struck a chord with a lot of people. So now we've got President Trump, the elect is taken out of his name. What do you think is going to happen with his pledge regarding this wall, that so many people are waiting to see what happens and who's going to build it and who's going to pay for it? Do you think we're really going to see a wall?
Well, I think that's one of the major points of his entire campaign. Matter of fact, probably the cornerstone is that there's going to be some kind of physical wall on our 2,000-mile border with Mexico. I mean, it sounds improbable that you could even do that, but he's going to figure out a way to do it, and he keeps saying that Mexico is going to pay for it. And that's really where I come in. I wrote an article in the Daily Caller where I just sort of said that the Mexican president and many different presidents from before just simply said that it's just against our dignity as a country, our dignity as Mexicans. Now it's a matter of national pride, and we didn't have to go into all this "you're going to pay for the wall" kind of thing. Look at it this way. Let's say I have a neighbor named Kate. Mm-hmm. And Kate Kate has a Rottweiler that insists on pooping on my rose bushes. And so I think that building a fence between my property and Kate's is a pretty good idea. But asking Kate to pay for that fence, it's not so much of a good idea. You might think, hey, it's worth a shot. But if I demanded that, well, let's face it, I'm going to have worse relationships with Kate. She's not going to let me borrow her lawnmower. It's a big issue. Kate, you might not be able to, my neighbor Kate, might not be able to argue about my right to build a fence on my property, but she can argue against my demand that I finance it. So what we have here is taking a pretty reasonable relationship and throwing it right in the dumpster. And this is all for a side issue that I don't think a lot of people care about. I don't think a lot of people care who's going to pay for a wall, even those, matter of fact, maybe especially those who are in favor of it.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting too, because along the areas we're talking about, some of them already have some fencing, and it's not what we imagine, I think, in our minds. As I've traveled with the Border Patrol, I've been through many of those areas, and you know this. Certainly, you talk about these kind of things in your radio show. It's not what people think, is it, along the border?
No, as a matter of fact, I saw a video of two women that climbed the wall within, I would say, within a minute or two, they were over that fence that is currently up. So I think that that is a poor, so far, obstacle of people coming over. And the question is a wall going to be a better obstacle? Probably, but only if you do a lot to support that wall with virtual sensors, with increased Border Patrol presence. We have to really develop that if we're really going to make any type of difference. If we do, though, it is possible that we will save ourselves some money. You know, the government says that we spend probably about $113 billion on caring for illegal immigrants that come into our country. And so if we can make a dent in that, well, you know, they might even pay for the wall. Who knows?
Yeah. How important is it to have a wall or have some barrier?
Well, you know, 65 countries have some type of barrier or are currently building one. You know, illegal immigration is a big issue, not just in the United States, but a lot of different places. We saw very famously Hungary build a major border fence when it was having trouble getting Syrian refugees from crossing the country to get into Germany. So I think that we need to have some way of securing our border. If it's a wall, it's a wall. If it's not, it has to be something. Sensors, there's a virtual wall, basically, where we can identify people coming in. And we just definitely have to have a better presence and a more protected border patrol presence if we're going to really have any kind of border whatsoever. And that's a decision. We have to decide, are we going to have a border or not? And I think the voters decided that we need to have one because they elected the guy whose cornerstone for his campaign, that's the border.
Right. And as it takes shape, it'll be interesting to see, because I think there will be discussions in Congress. I do. I don't think this is we have three branches of government. Here's what he ran on. Here's what the push is. Because if there is going to be more funding for, as you know, Border Patrol, then all of that would have to be voted on. And so I think we're going to see this there's going to be an interesting discussion about this that's really going to happen in a much wider area than we've seen in the past. There's been discussions, but not like this. I think it's going to be, I think we're going to be hearing a lot about it from Congress, don't you?
Not just that, Kate. We're going to be seeing lawsuits from environmental impact people, from human rights people. Eric Holder in California has been retained to, I think, pretty much specifically fight the wall on the California border. There are Republican deficit hawks that say, you know, they don't want to spend that kind of money. It's going to affect the deficit. And how about the folks that happen to live along the Rio Grande River? You have a house that's on the river. Well, guess what? Your property is now condemned and or has to be taken over by what they call public domain. So that's an issue. There is a way, though, that is possible that he could get payment for the wall, or that he could pay for the wall, and that's something called a border adjustment tax. And you may, if you've been to Europe, you might know it as a value added tax or a VAT, V-A-T. And in that circumstance, what happens is that a country. Basically, you're taxing imports that come into the country, and you're taxing exports, but you're getting the money back from exports. You get refunded for the things that you export. So for countries that we have a trade deficit with, let's say Mexico, we have a $13 billion trade deficit a year with Mexico, then that a percentage of that money would actually come into the United States every year. And since it's a border adjustment for all countries, you're not singling out Mexico and not making it a national insult to suggest that they specifically pay for a wall. So that's something that's been put forth by some economists. I don't know if it'll work, but 160 countries have it. So the question is, we could possibly have it too.
Yeah, border adjustment taxes. Again, that's another thing to look for. Good stuff. Dr. Joe Altman, if somebody wants to find you, how can they do that?
They can check me out at AmericanSurvivalRadio.com. You can see my articles in the Daily Caller, Intellectual Conservative, Conservative Truth, all sorts of different places on the Internet. And, Kate, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, that was terrific stuff. Thank you, Dr. Joe.
Bye, Kate.
So I think Dr. Joe brought up some really interesting things. We are going to, as far as the wall's concerned, we're going to see a lot of debate on this. We already are seeing a lot of debate on it. So it's not anything new. And like he said and I said, it was the cornerstone of Trump getting elected. So now this, now this is happening. And he mentioned it. There are people that are advocating not to have the wall. So the push is, you know, full on to stop it as well. And what does that wall look like? What do you think that wall looks like? You know, the border fence between Mexico and the U.S., I was reading something the other day. Is it necessary? Immigration laws. What do our immigration laws look like? Well, we need good laws. We need to enforce good laws. Absolutely. And other nations have those expectations. But as Dr. Joe mentioned, and the border adjustment tax is a big thing. We know what's happened because of not enforcing the laws in the past. If you go back to Reagan's administration, I've said this before, for goodness sake, there were laws on the books, and those laws weren't enforced very well. And because they weren't enforced very well, and because people were hiring people illegally, let's face it, that's what happened. Then there was tunnels because there was profitability because of drugs and running drugs back and forth. So this is a huge, huge, important, again, debate that we're going to see that's going to move from radio talk shows, newspaper opinion pieces, blogs, etc., to even, I think, more in the forefront once again in Washington. I think it's very important to do that. Thanks so much to all of you for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Many Americans suffer from poor digestion, which can adversely affect their health.
For you guys who have digestive issues, glutathione is amazingly important for inflammatory bowel disease, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, stomach cancer. The glands of the stomach produce lots of glutathione. So glutathione's got multiple roles to play, and one of the best ways to upregulate, to make more glutathione, is to take the building blocks, glycine being one of the most important of the building blocks for making glutathione. Your ultimate enzymes contain something called trimethylglycine. We know it as betaine. We talk about betaine as an important ingredient for acidification, for keeping the pH of the stomach nice and low. But betaine can also help you make glutathione.
Help your body build glutathione. Order Ultimate Enzymes by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsidemen.com. That's brightsidemen.com. Order today.
You ever wonder what happened to America?
Because of what we did on this day, change has come to America.
Something's wrong, and we all know it. I'm Charlie Daniels, and I'm here to tell you about it.
The nation has been hijacked by international forces bent on global governance.
When I was a boy, it was okay to be proud of the flag, heritage, mom, and apple pie. God was in school, morality had a future. And beef was for supper. Revelation, dawn of global government.
We're the solution, Americans. Ain't nothing more to it than that.
Starring Alex Jones, Charlie Daniels, and Special Ops General Jerry Boykin. Theatrical screenings on demand. DVDs now available. Want to shed some tears over the red, white, and blue? Revelation, the movie. .info. Americans need to see this film. Revelation, the movie. .info. Let's fix it.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Have you seen the movie yet, Hidden Figures? I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. And I cannot believe, I mean, I guess I can believe it, but we know that there are other people out there just like what we saw portrayed in the movie. And we're going to introduce you to one right now, Olympia LaPointe, who just has an amazing story. Imagine you fail math and science until the 11th grade. Then a math teacher takes you under their wing, teaches you how to think differently. You end up graduating at the top of your class. You're hired at Boeing after graduating. You're 21, and you work to calculate the probability of catastrophic explosions in space flights. Incredible. And we're just scratching the surface here as far as this rocket scientist is concerned. TED speaker and author Olympia LaPointe. Olympia, thanks so much for popping on.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I'm just so happy to be on your show.
So let's talk about your childhood and what I mentioned, that how did your brain get turned around and did you get in the groove of really liking math and science? Because I'm assuming you got there because there's no way you could do the job you did if you didn't change your mind.
Oh, thank you so much. People always ask me that, how did I turn my thinking around? As you mentioned, I was a rocket scientist for NASA's Space Shuttle Main Engine Program, and we helped launch 28 missions to space. But people are surprised that I failed algebra, failed geometry, failed calculus, and failed chemistry. And I have to look at that because that was my past and I learned from it. But what I specifically grew from that is the realizing that everyone is intelligent. Everyone is smart. But only if they understand how to use their brain. And I was someone who loved math after going to a field trip when I was 6 years old to JPL, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory here in California. I said I wanted to be just like a rocket scientist, and I didn't know how challenging that was going to be. In elementary school, I studied mathematics, and I failed algebra. And I didn't realize that when most people go through an emotional experience in their life, the first place it usually shows up is in their mathematics and science education, but specifically in their mathematics education, because that's where the brain is required to use the frontal brain lobes. When someone is going through any type of emotional turmoil like I was going through, or any child that's going through any type of emotional turmoil, whether it is a bad teacher, if it's difficulty at home with the parents, if it's a hard time at school, it shows up in the mathematics education itself. That's where the brain actually processes the difference between fear or problem solving. And when someone has problem solving going on or solution finding, the frontal part of their brain lobe is actually firing and the fear is not. And what turned my life around is that a teacher, it was in 11th grade, sat down with me and showed me how my brain worked. And no one had ever done that before. And that was the turning part in my life to allow me to see, oh my God, I'm actually smart. I could actually do this math. And it took a while to actually learn the mathematics, but I eventually got it. And then I became fast at it. And then I was showing other people how to do it. And then I eventually launched rockets with it.
When you go to Boeing and you are this rocket scientist, and it's 1998, and even though, as in the movie Hidden Figures, we see in what happened with those scientists, you had to have overcome, I would imagine, some amazing things because you were young. You're a Native American, French, African American woman. What was your treatment like, or how did you get people to pay attention and listen to you at such a young age?
Well, they did. And that's the most funniest thing, because when I watched the movie Hidden Figures, well, first off, I was just so amazed that Hidden Figures was made, because when I looked at Katherine Johnson's life on screen, I actually started crying. Her life and my life were identical. And even though it being 40 years later, after that moment in time, I still went through the exact same thing. And I was so moved to write about that that I ended up writing the article on the Huffington Post. And in my book, Massophobia, I share about what it was really like to actually be one of the youngest people there and doing the mathematics. And people are unaware that in the rocket science world and the propulsion world, everyone has their piece. There are people that focus on the structural dynamics, how things won't break apart. There's people that look at thermodynamics, what type of fuels can actually be combined and created together so it wouldn't melt from metal when it goes through. There are engine guys and, like, turbo pump individuals who will look at the type of blade speed that needs to rotate and rotation does this need to be created in order to exit a swimming pool within like a 6 second time period. I mean, this is the fluid that needs to go through. These are the skills that everyone has. And so my job was a mathematician in the reliability engineering system safety world. So I had to literally go to every single person, capture their math, capture their science, put it all together within one mathematical formula to say exactly which type of explosion would happen before it would occur. And that was the most challenging part, because not all the people were talking with one another.
Oh, communication. Oh, boy, we could talk about that for hours.
And I realized that was the beautiful gift that I brought. And I was one of the very few women there. I would go into this room, and there would be like around 200 people in this room, and I would be like the only woman. And I would look around, and I was sometimes the only person of color, but mainly I was the only woman. And at first I thought to myself, oh my God, how is this going to work? And they weren't used to working with someone who were different than they were. It was just not something that they were culturally expected or prepared to do, I should say. And everyone I worked with were excellent people, but it took time for them to understand that there is a gigantic difference between not necessarily me being a person of color, but me being a woman and they being men. And I think there is such a beautiful diversity opportunity available with men and women working together in the workplace, because what I recognized in my particular and personal experience is that me being the only woman in that room, I was the connector. That's what I didn't realize. I had the ability to communicate not only the technical information, but connect everyone together so we were all working in such a team way to prevent explosions that we changed the design. And it was one of the most challenging experiences, I'll be honest with you, the most challenging experiences I ever went through. But it was the most powerful because I realized the role that I had was to connect people as a woman. And that's the most striking thing that I look back on is I had the ability to connect people with the technical information so everyone could see the same picture and make a difference with it.
Wow, that's powerful. As part of that team and doing that, you helped launch 28 space missions, some we certainly know and have talked about when we think about the space shuttle days. For you, and I know this is hard to boil down, what was your proudest moment as far as those space missions?
Thank you for asking that question. Oh, my gosh. Thank you. In my TED Talk, Reprogramming Your Brain to Overcome Fear, it was interesting. At the beginning of the TED Talk, I count down. I do this thing. It's 10, 9, 8, and I count down. And I bring the audience into that moment in time where I'm supporting mission control. And I'm launching this. And that was the most powerful time for me. I had to build and build and build to the point where I knew every single weld. There were over 3,000 welds of the engine alone. I had to know exactly where every single piece of machinery was within the engine. It was like a human body with all these different organs everywhere, where you have to know how each one operates, what's the temperature, what's the pressure. I had to know every single one of the tubes, over 1,000 tubes. I had to be able to know exactly the number of each one of them. And the proudest moment was when I could sit in this dark room for 12 hours looking at this data from all these different things of the engine supporting mission control in what we call the ROS. It was the most amazing part of my life. Here I was in this room, and I feel like I'm getting emotional right now. Here I was in this room where I was helping launch the rockets, and I was just like the men that I saw in the pictures that were on my field trip in first grade when I was 6 years old, when I told myself I want to be just like those men that I saw. And that was the point in my life where I realized, oh, my gosh, I made it. And I made it. I made it here. And it was sweat and it was tears. It was times in which I thought to myself, how am I going to make through this? How am I going to be able to get this information across to the people? There were times in which I remember the second day I was hired and one of the people came to me and circled me and looked and was in complete awe because they had never seen a woman working on the floor before. And later on, he became one of my biggest supporters. But I remember right after that, ladies I didn't even know, brought me over into the restroom and told me, all right, you don't know us, but just to let you know, we've been here for years. You're like the first engineer that's come on this floor. And just to let you know, there's a few men that will push your buttons just to make you seem emotional. And it's important that you stay calm, because at any moment that you do not keep yourself calm, you'll have a reason to put a man in your place. And it was just coming from women that took me to the side in the restroom. And so when I saw the hidden figures for the restroom scenes, I was thinking to myself, oh, my God, this is just like, oh, this is just like my experience. And when I sat in that dark room supporting launches, I knew that I had made it. Out of all those experiences, I made it. So that was the most important thing to me.
Wow, what a story. You can check out her TED Talk, Reprogramming Your Brain to Overcome Fear. Over 500,000 and counting views worldwide. Olympia LaPointe, what an inspiration. Rocket scientist, TED speaker, and author. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It has been so fun to be on your show. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Olympia.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Do you trust the economy? How about our banking system? Our president states that we're sitting on a bubble right now, and when the Fed raises interest rates, bad things are going to happen. Well, the Fed is outlining rate hikes here and now. There's never been a better time to turn your IRA into physical gold with GSI Exchange. 800-261-5570. That's 800-261-5570. GSI Exchange can make this happen fast, and it's money you control, not the big banks. 800-261-5570. Ask about our Gold and Silver Investors Guide and learn how your qualified IRA transfers can get you $1,500 in free physical gold or silver delivered right to your home. GSI Exchange has an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, too. Get the security for your money now. Call GSI Exchange at 800-261-5570. 800-261-5570. That's 800-261-5570.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
America Tonight. Check this out. This is crazy. And it might get buried in the headlines because of everything that's happened with the inauguration. But on Wednesday, the United States Supreme Court is going to hear a case that is focusing on an Oregon-based rock band's name. According to what we've seen from the AP, the U.S. government's refuses to register a trademark for the Slants, is the name of the group, because the name is considered offensive to Asians. Boy, oh boy, isn't it interesting, because the court's ruling could actually affect the Washington Redskins. They've been in a fight, you know, I've talked about this a lot, to keep the National Football League team name that they have, and the NFL with the trademark protection, and we know what's happening with Dan Snyder, who owns that team, and it's been quite an ordeal. Joining us now is an attorney, Dr. Nick Oberheiden. His practice is in federal courts. He's currently admitted to practice law in New York and Washington, D.C., and, of course, all kinds of other courts in our court system, Court of Appeals, the District Court for the Southern and Eastern District of New York, the U.S. District Court for the Northern, Southern and Eastern District of Texas. It's important to specify that because it means that Nick can try a whole bunch of cases if he finds himself in those situations. Hey, Dr. Oberheiden, thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, so let's talk about this. For this Supreme Court hearing for the slants, the government's not going to register the trademark. What's their argument? I would imagine freedom of speech, right?
Well, it's actually an interesting case because the government takes the position that the name, the slants, is disparaging and offensive, and the basis in the Lanham Act, which is a federal statute, essentially says if a trademark application is offensive or disparaging, the trademark office has the authority to deny the protection. And this is really what Simon Tam, this young musician, went through when he started battling the federal government in 2011. He applied, it was denied. He appealed, it was denied. He went to court, it was denied. And here we are, Mr. Tam and the Slants are now, you know, giving a concert, so to speak, in our highest court, the U.S. Supreme Court, on Wednesday.
Wow. So you've been in this game for a while. That's why I laid out all the places where you can try cases. What do you think happens here? Is this just another thing that kind of gets shelved for a while because of what we've seen happen with the Redskins?
Well, those cases are clearly connected, and I think the decision on the Slants will have an impact on the Redskins as well. What is strange about this whole process, quite frankly, is there are trademarked and protected names that I can't even pronounce here on air on the radio, and I won't, I promise. So that makes this whole case and ordeal even more stand out. Keep in mind, and this will be an important precedent and factor for the eight U.S. Supreme Court justices, the Westboro Baptist Church case. If you remember, there were people who hatefully disparaged fallen soldiers, and the U.S. Supreme Court said, well, we understand the First Amendment is not about what's convenient and what we agree with. It's not about value. It's not about taste. The First Amendment is as broad as an amendment, as a protection can be. And even if we disagree and reject an idea or a statement, we still protect it. And I think it will be very difficult for the government to overcome this very, very high standard that was established in cases like the Westboro and other First Amendment cases before the Slants reached the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, fascinating to watch this. I'd be remiss not to ask you a little bit about your background. You went to Harvard Law School. You also trained at a couple of interesting institutions, the United Nations Office of the Prosecutor, International Criminal Tribunal for former Yugoslavia. What was that like to be, you know, tied to the United Nations, of course, and then explain the Criminal Tribunal for Yugoslavia, or what was?
Yeah, and as my accent may be revealing, I grew up in Germany. I finished law school in Germany. I studied law in Munich, Hamburg, and got a PhD in international law, comparative law, at the University of Heidelberg. I got my JD at UCLA Law School, and I did a couple of extra steps in Brazil and in the United States to further educate myself on federal and international law. And part of that experience was to look over the shoulder of the chief prosecutor of the United Nations at the War Tribunal in The Hague in the Netherlands for ex-Yugoslavia. And that was certainly an interesting experience to meet people like General Wesley Clark and see him testify in court. So that was an experience that really shaped my education, but also my view on the law and on justice.
Yeah, and so when you say that and you talk about Wesley Clark, the general, the former general, explain that for the listeners who may not remember that whole story.
Well, what happened in under President Clinton in the late 90s, the United States with other allies started to bomb, essentially, President Milosevic, the president of Yugoslavia, for atrocities and war crimes committed against within Yugoslavia. There were conflicts between Serbians, Croatians, and Kosovo people living in the Kosovo, and this conflict just erupted to more than just a civil war. And at some point, the NATO under the leadership of General Clark started to intervene and to stop these atrocities, and then many years later, the United Nations started to try some of the accused and later convicted war criminals that were orchestrated this civil war and this explosion and eruption in the heart of Europe.
Yeah, wow, crazy stuff. What are you passionate about with all the different areas that you specifically work in and the reach that you have federally? What motivates you the most, Nick?
I'm really dedicated to the idea of fair trial and due process. I limit my practice to federal law. I do a lot of federal criminal cases involving the FBI and the Department of Justice, Department of Defense. And what is interesting and exciting in every case is the idea that I am not the judge, but I am surrounded by enormously important principles that were established in this country as part of constitutional interpretation, whether it's a seizure and arrest warrant, whether it is just the idea and the notion that everyone has a right to go to trial, have a jury trial. These are, you know, we take those ideas for granted, but again, reflecting on my experience in that war case, for example, war tribunal, these ideas that Americans enjoy every single day, the idea of justice and fair trial, that is not a standard that you find in every single country. And this idea, pursuing this idea and helping clients in critical situations is really something that is driving me and that I'm very passionate about.
Yeah, wow. Pleasure to talk to you, Dr. Nick Oberheiden. Thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Thank you so much.
All right, so interesting to talk to Nick Oberheiden about this. The fact that, as he's mentioning, if we go back to the beginning of what we were talking about, the United States Supreme Court hearing this case about the name of this rock band that is considered offensive, you know, again, the government canceled the team's trademark last year after they found they're disparaging to Native Americans. So for the Slants founder, the name was chosen not to offend, but to take on stereotypes about Asian culture. He says the band is reclaiming a term once used as an insult and transforming it into a statement of cultural pride. That's what the deal was. But the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office didn't see it that way. They refused to register the name back in 2011, saying a trademark can be disparaging even if it's meant to be used in a positive light. So now you have the court's ruling and how that could possibly affect the Redskins and their fight to continue to keep that trademark. So it becomes the question of, is it assault on free speech by the government, or is it necessary to protect against language that offends some groups? We will talk about it. I can tell you that as we continue down the road next week on America Tonight. Coming up next, we check the mail.
Looking for safe, effective, and all-natural remedies for ourselves and our family. The solution is Simplex. Simplex oils provide natural anti-inflammatory and pain relief, antioxidant and nerve protection, and is an amazing topical acne removal and skincare supplement. Natural healing at a very affordable price. Find out more about our non-psychoactive CBD oil products. Go to SimplexSpecials.com. That's SimplexSpecials.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.